You're listening to the Grace Podcast. I'm Pastor Justin Spurlock. I'm so glad to have you listening to this service. If you are in need of grace, you have come to the right place.
Here in Highland Ranch, Colorado, we're experiencing one of the most beautiful falls we've ever had. The autumn colors are stunning. They're beautiful. It's such a beautiful time of orange and red and yellows and fruit coming out of the garden still and the trees and harvesting the apples. It's a beautiful time. And this season of fall seems to be a time of reminiscence and nostalgia. If you're anything like me, and I suspect that some of you are, it's a time where we draw inward. We start to reflect on how the summer went. We start to gather together things and getting ready for the winter and making sure our tires are good and we're starting to prepare for the future with tires and our wiper blades and all that stuff. It's time we draw inward. It's a time we reflect. We have nostalgia. I start thinking about nostalgia, and I can't help but think about Norman Rockwell and his paintings. It seems as culturally a time where we think back and we remember those good old days. Were they really that good? We think about that one particular painting, I know I do, as we're just around the corner, it'll be Thanksgiving. And Norman Rockwell painted this idyllic scene of Thanksgiving where mom in her white apron, of course, who's been working so laboriously in the kitchen, she's presenting the perfectly cooked turkey. Beautiful golden brown. She's presenting it to the family, and there beside the table is her whole family and young adults and people, and everybody has joy on their face, and they have rosy cheeks, and they're so excited, and they're joyful, and everybody's in a good mood, and they seem so happy. And there's the husband standing right behind his wife, and he's so proud of her. He's wearing a suit, of course, because this is the 50s, a dark tie and a black suit. And he's just beaming with joy and pride over little mother who's presenting this Thanksgiving meal. I'm bringing up that picture and that scene because I think a lot of the feelings we have around that and the reminiscence and nostalgia we have is a lot like what we just read about. At the very end of chapter 31 of Proverbs, about this beautiful, amazing woman, this godly woman, this righteous woman, and this vivid description of what a godly, righteous woman is like. And she's pretty amazing, isn't she? Oh my goodness, she's capable, and she's precious, and she's trustworthy, and she's faithful, and she's gainful. And she's actually quite a successful businesswoman, and somehow or another, she brings food from all over and prepares it. She stays up late at night preparing for her family. And then she gets up early in the morning to provide as well. She's such an aspirational figure. If we just could all just aspire to be like her, that would be the good life. What do you think? I remember I was talking one time about this particular passage for a MOPS group many years ago. And they were talking about, they made that the focus of the whole evening. And one woman in the back kind of raised her hand and said, "You know, honestly, that woman makes me feel exhausted. There's no way I could possibly keep up with her. There's no way I could keep up with that. There's no way. If that's the godly woman, if that's the righteous woman that I'm supposed to aspire to be like, I quit. There's no way I can keep up with her." I don't know. How are you feeling about that description? It seems a lot to me. It seems almost a little too idealized. In fact, I think the author of Proverbs here, I think the author felt the same way. I think there was some tension that the author had about what's the idealized woman and what's not.
It's so fascinating to me here at the beginning of chapter 31. You know, many of these chapters have kind of headings on them that say who wrote it. And oftentimes, scriptures, the Proverbs are written by Solomon, generally. We ascribe to Solomon. But this particular one says the teaching of King Lemuel's mother. King Lemuel's mother. Who is King Lemuel? Well, we're not exactly sure, really. We don't really know. Some say it was Hezekiah, but we're not exactly sure. But these are mother's advice and words. And so we've already read the part about the idealized, godly, righteous woman. But let me read how the chapter starts out. Know, my son, know, son of my womb, know, son of my vows, do not give your strength to women. Do not give in to women who destroy kings even. And then it's got about 10 verses of how you want to stay away from women. And then she compares that then to the kind of women who are godly. But I think the author, King Lemuel's mother, was kind of divided, was feeling this tension between the idealized perfect woman and the woman who is just falls short all the time. I think we find ourselves in that same bind. Within ourselves, we have this idealized self. If only we could just do this. If only we could do that in the future. If only I could work harder. If only I were a better father. If only I was I sent letters and sent emails and was involved in my nieces and nephews' lives. If only we did more. We would have a better life. Then we also have this tension with not just the future, but also the past. Gosh, if it was only like back then. If only we could return back to the 50s. You know those times, Norman Rockwell times, where everybody and everything was so happy and we had no worries in our culture. If only we could go back then. But let's be real. In fact, that's what this is all about. This entire sermon, this entire focus of our sermon series, Living Well, Trying to Find the Good Life, it's actually not about what we aspire to be. It's actually the good life's not about trying to recover what we used to be like. Instead, you want to live the good life? You want to live well? It's all about embracing it all right now. When we look at our lives, when we look at our culture, when we look at our own church, our families, our careers, basically when we put our visors on and we look at everything and we can start to get engaged in this tension between, oh, if only we could be like that or back how it used to be. But what if instead the good life was like this? We embraced it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, the aspiring moments where we're amazingly confident and we act with compassion and care and provide, and the other times where we fall short, where we just don't feel like giving anymore. What if we took all of our lives, all the chaos, all the successes, and all the things coming at us, and we just welcomed it all? We accepted it. You know, the Greeks had a concept called amor fati. I've talked a little bit about this in church before, but amor fati is Latin words for love of fate. And it's the idea of just accepting whatever's been given to you at the time. Accepting even of yourself. The good and the bad and the ugly within you. Want to live a good life? A life filled with joy? A life also filled with, like all of life is, with despair and difficulty? Embrace it all. Accept it all. You know, around here at Grace Presbyterian, we always forget that Presbyterian part. We as Presbyterians truly believe in God's sovereignty, The idea that God controls everything. And so whether we label something as good or bad, whether we label something as righteous or unrighteous, whether we label anything that happens in our lives or any inner compulsion we have, guess what? God is ultimately in control of it all. And so what if we, like God, we, like God's Son Jesus, just welcomed and accepted ourselves as much as God welcomes and accepts us? Some words to think of. Some idealized self to maybe perhaps want to aspire to, but also maybe let's focus on the tendency within us to not think about the future or the past, but instead just welcome ourselves and accept everything just like God has. May it be so. I hope so. Amen.